His next section here, he deals with what he calls the contribution of evil. And so in this section, he's going to go through various attempts to deal with the problem of evil by suggesting or various suggestions on how it contributes to what God is attempting to do. So he calls this the contribution of evil. And of course, the very first one that he deals with here is the best possible world defense. And of course, if you've done any study in this area, you're kind of familiar with this idea of the best possible world. The philosopher Leibniz and others have argued, he tells us, that this world, for all of its evils, is nonetheless the best world that God could have produced, right? So this is the best possible world. The reason is not that, you know, God is weak, as in, you know, an upcoming defense that he's going to talk to us about, but rather the very logic of creation. Certain evils are logically necessary, according to this perspective, to achieve certain good ends. For example, there must be suffering if there's to be compassion for suffering. And so this allows them for suffering to come out if or a compassion to come out with regard to suffering. So this is the best possible world. It's kind of a logical approach that Leibniz and others have suggested as a solution to the problem of evil.
Right. But scripture does teach that God observes the laws of logic, not because there are laws above him, which he must conform to, right? We don't want that, because then we ask, well, who's making God conform to those laws, and why are those laws seem to be transcendent of even God, who we would say is transcendent above all things, like that?
Right. And where they come from? Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're not Mormons. We you know, he's not born on Kolob and has to learn Godship, but from everlasting to everlasting, he is God. So that seems to be something that we don't want it to attribute to him, but because he is by nature a logical person. But does a perfect world logically require, right? Require, is it necessary for the existence of evil? God himself is perfect, but there's no evil in him. So it seems to be, here's a case of perfection, the best possible God to exist having no evil. According to scripture, the original creation contained no evil. So even at the very beginning, it wasn't necessary. So was it imperfect for that reason? Well, no. God looks upon all his creation and calls it good and very good. So he doesn't say, well, except for that little corner, you know, the Mufasa showing Simba, you know, the Pride Lands, and except for that shadowy foresty area out there, that's where evil exists. No, God says it's all good. He's created it, and it's all very good. Well, the consummate new heavens and new earth, that is, the ultimate perfection of the created order, will also be without evil. So does that mean then that no longer is the best possible world? So we have an issue at the beginning, and we have an issue at the end. If evil is kind of this necessary entity to exist for it to be the best possible world. And as for the early examples, suffering may be necessary for exhibition of compassion, but it is not necessary for the existence of compassion in a person.
Notice how he deals with this here. He says that, you know, do we really need to have evil in order to have a perfect world or a perfect anything, right? God is perfect, and of course, there's no evil in him. The original creation was good, right? And it contained no evil, right? And in the end, at the end of all things, there'll be no evil there. So we can have perfection without having evil to exist, is the point that he's trying to make with regard to this, you know, position on the best possible world needs to have evil position, right? He's not buying that, right?
Right.
So he tells us the bottom line here is that, you know, he doesn't know whether this world, taken as a complete historical sequence, is the best possible world. In fact, as far as he knows, he tells us that God is free to make things that are either imperfect or perfect, right? God can make anything he wants. And so he doesn't believe that we can solve the problem of evil by saying that we know a priori, right, based on reason alone, that this is the best possible world and that all the evils are logically necessary for its perfection.
Right. We did have Scott Christensen use a form of this, though, and make his argument for it. Again, he modified it and critiqued Leibniz in similar fashion as well. So this is something that, again, may sound like a carryover from our book before, but obviously Frame is going to add his own flavor to it as well here.